You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always. On today's podcast, I'm going to go solo and do it all alone to recap today's OK Hawks win. So let's begin with that game before we get into some later discussion about Bojan and his recovery after a terrible Monday night for Bojan Bogdanovic. Probably the worst night for maybe an NBA player this season for that awful pass. So Pacers win 105-95, basically just taking care of business. It was one of those games where the Pacers were expected to win, so they won. The score is more deceiving, the final score, than what the game was like. They had a 20-point lead at one point. They basically benched Oladipo and the rest of the starters for the last, like, three or so minutes. So mainly kind of one of those blowouts for the Pacers. You know, we've seen a couple times this year where they blow a team out, but by the score metric, they only win by 10 or 15 because by the end of the game, the team goes back. Miles Turner had a pretty nice night. It's just a pretty good, just I think overall, after Tuesday, Wednesday for Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner, both of those guys, if you haven't seen yet, were on the starters NBA show. They're pretty funny together. Turner looked more comfortable watching them. Victor Oladipo looked a little bit nervous and stuff like that, but good week for those two guys. They had 20 and 23 each, so pretty good game for them. Turner does a great job of exploiting teams that don't really have any good centers. You know, he was going up against basically Miles Plumlee most of the night, and then a little bit of Ilyasova, who, weird connection, used to play for the Magic, so that's a connection back to Oladipo and stuff like that, but I think he's part of that trade, actually, so. But, you know, Turner does a good job of just exploiting really bad centers. The Pacers in general do. They're 8-0 against the bottom 12 teams in the NBA. I think their only two losses to sub-500 teams are the Heat and the Thunder, which, you know, Heat was so early in the season, the Thunder were just, George played really well that game because it was a return game, had to lose on defense-wise, but Turner did a pretty nice job. He has these games. You know, he stunk on Monday. I think he didn't even have a field goal on Monday's Celtics game, but he came back and looked nice and recovered. Another big player for the Pacers in this game was Bojan Bogdanovic. I gotta hit on him a little bit later more about his future with the Pacers, but he overcame what was an awful moment on Monday. It's one of those things where it's a make or break moment for a team. You can go one way or the other. You can either just, that becomes the point where they lose five in a row and this team starts doubting themselves, or you come out, you kick a team's butt, you play really well, your teammates encourage you, and you win. And he said after the game, actually, just how distraught he was after that loss. I mean, it's one of those losses where he said he didn't sleep for the next two nights, which doesn't surprise me that he didn't sleep. And he was just, you know, but his teammates kept encouraging him, kept him up, and he did pretty well. He shot 8 of 14, he only shot 1 of 5 from 3, struggled recently from there. He's not being fantastic recently, but he had 19 points. He was a plus 13 on the floor, which he played some solid D, and you know, Pacers took care of business. It's another one of the take care of business games. Some other significant, you know, players were Collison at 11. Sabonis was a plus 16 on the floor, even though he only had 4 points. Kristoff threw in 11 points to go with them. Overall, Stevenson had 10 too. Overall, just a solid performance from the Pacers. It's one of those games we've seen this thing where, you know, in big games, Oladipo scores 35, 40, but in these, against these worst teams in the NBA, the Pacers sort of are evenly distributed. They play, you know, they take care of business. Let's put it that way. They take care of business with these really bad teams in this league. And they're lucky because they got a couple bad games coming up, too. You know, the schedule kind of gets easy. They play the Nets on Saturday. Should be another W for them. Detroit's a tough game at Detroit, but then Dallas, Chicago are two pretty bad teams, even though Chicago's been on a run recently, but then it's like Minnesota, Milwaukee, Chicago, Milwaukee, Miami, that's all the way to January 10th, so, you know, there's a chance this team, at least by the end of the year, could have 20 wins in their first 35 games, wouldn't put it out of reach. You know, they could be, that's pretty impressive for a team coming, we thought, would maybe win 25 games the whole season. So overall, the Pacers have been looking really solid. You know, you got to discount that Boston game. It stunk. They lost the game, but remember, they competed toe-to-toe at the end of the game with one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, so they're up there in this team. You know, they're going to be somewhere between the 4 and the 8 seed, just the way the East is playing out. There's so many teams clustered between the 4 and the 8 seed. They could get a home playoff series and maybe win a playoff series with the way the guys are playing. You know, Oladipo is, he said, I mean, they're talking about the starters when he went on the show, just how he looks like he's one of the best shooting guards in this league. He's probably, you know, been the second best guard in the Eastern Conference this year behind Kyrie Irving. You know, that was it for the Hawks game. There's not wasn't too exciting of a game. Pacers, you know, did what I thought they would do. I think I gave them a 20-point win, but it was a 20-point win, and they won by 10. And coming up later in the season, you know, next couple games, they should win by 20 points. You know, they should be some 3 or 4 easy in the next 5 games. I'm going to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, MyBookie. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Well, sign for MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is up for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. That's a big thing. Recently, Bitcoin is now at $16,000 a coin. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get up to a 50% bonus on your first deposit. If you visit MyBookie.ag today, you can basically, it's bowl season. It's about to be Christmas Day, and big games are fun to bet on. There's a couple things, NFL season, playoffs. There's all the stuff to bet on, all kinds of stuff. You know, if you like sports and like to bet, MyBookie.ag is the best place to go. You can cash out very easily. And remember, you get a 50% bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Use the promo code LOCKEDON today. Go to MyBookie.ag for all your betting needs. Now back to Locked On Pacers podcast. So I have a article coming out probably this Friday on Bojan Bogdanović. I thought it was the perfect week to talk about him after that Monday game. How he could be the future starting small forward for this Pacers team. So I know some people out there are going to say, well, what about Glenn Robinson? Well, you know, Robinson hasn't played a game yet this year, so there's some concern there. But overall, Bogdanović has widely exceeded his summer expectations in a way that I almost could guarantee today he's getting picked up for that option. Because no matter what, whether Robinson comes back and is improving on what he was last year, which would be, I mean, awesome, Bogdanović can be the sixth man off the bench no matter what, but he's really just been a really, really solid small forward for the Pacers. He's shooting career highs in field goal percentage, points per game, minutes played per game, three-point shooting. I mean, all over the board, hit a career high, and he's doing it at a higher rate. So he's not just playing less minutes and shooting better. He's playing more minutes and shooting better. And his defense has looked better. He's actually squaring up on guys. He's not getting beat all the time. He gets beat sometimes. But he's been really good recently. And depending on what Robinson does when he comes back, and, you know, Robinson's a free agent this offseason, the Pacers could easily, you know, try to extend Bogdanović 2 or 3 more seasons, in my opinion. I mean, I could see something like a 3-year, $40 million deal, adding in, of course, his option next year, so that would be like 10.5 and 2 years of 15, maybe, something like that. But if they could do that, he would probably be worth it. I mean, people forget Bogdanović is only in his 4th NBA season. So if you were talking about any other player, you would expect, you know, by his 4th, 5th, getting better, 6th season, you know, that's when players really start to make that leap after that 2nd and 3rd season. You know, Oladipo right now is in his 5th season. He's made that kind of leap. Bogdanović kind of made that leap. You know, he played a lot of years in Turkey and a little bit in Spain, so you didn't get to see him in his early 20s. But, you know, he's finally figured out the NBA game, I think. And a great comp for him, I would think, is Ryan Anderson. So Anderson is a little bit taller than Bogdanović and a little bit bigger right now. He's better at a power forward. You know, Anderson's playing a little, actually, even stretch center for the Rockets. But it's the idea of the guy who can basically is a knockdown three-point shooter, which is Bogdanović has been 41% this year. He had a stretch of 15 games where he shot 50% from three. I know he's struggling a little bit right now, but overall, he'll get back. You know, it's a game of numbers, and he's probably going to be a 40% three-point shooter by the end of the season, would be my guess. But a guy who can shoot the three and stretch the four incredibly well, but also does a great job of getting the lane, hitting in layups and things like that. You know, he's really good off using his right shoulder to create space and bank shots in. He doesn't usually miss many, you know, 8-foot shots. You know, he misses the occasional one, but he's shooting pretty well from there. But if he could do what Anderson does and extend the floor by about 3 more feet, so if he can become that 30-foot shooter, which he's been trying to do, hasn't been great at it recently, but if he can do that, Bogdanović easily becomes as valuable to Anderson, who right now you can see the Rockets is awesome. I mean, you know, I think Bogdanović is not the greatest defensive player, but when you put him next to a guy like Miles Turner, or, you know, Anderson's comp is Clint Capela, two great rim protectors in Turner and Capela, it really sort of helps those guys because they can play up on guys a little more, which they're not, like, super slow. They're not incredibly fast, but they can match up decently well against some small forwards. And as Lee, I mean, remember, Bogdanović guard Paul George most of the Thunder game and didn't do a terrible job. So I think there definitely is a future for Bogdanović with the Pacers because, you know, I think he's going to get better as he comes to his fifth season next year. And if he expands his shooting range by about 2 feet, all of a sudden he becomes an incredible stretch-to-floor guy. I mean, he right now might be the best floor-stretch transition three-point shooter the Pacers have ever had. I mean, he is incredible. You watch the Pacers run transition plays, and Bogdanović is always trailing, getting to his spot in the corners, right as the turn of the top of the key, sort of right as it turns into becomes a straight line, where it's a little bit shorter of a 3-point shot. He does a great job getting to that spot and getting the ball and draining it. He's incredible. I'm talking him up because, you know, I think people forget, you know, he made that bad pass of money, but people forget what he's done for this team. I mean, he's basically been the second leading scorer. Him, Thad, and Turner are all kind of in this range of the 14 points a game. You know, I think Turner mentioned he can pop out of that, but he's been an incredible offensive player for them in doing things, just tiny little things you don't always notice. You know, his ability to hit the three definitely spaces the floor for Oladipo. You know, he's always a threat, Oladipo, or even for Turner, who, you know, Oladipo Turner can make great, been pretty good at making kind of passes to him in the corner and cross their body. So it just helps space the floor a little bit better. And it's things that Pacers didn't have before. I mean, remember, Pacers used to be playing at shooting guard Monte Ellis, who nobody respected. And now, even with Stevenson shooting better, he's getting respected at times. So, you know, Bogdanović is this incredible floor spacer that just kind of helps the offense flow in a way I think people forget when they just sometimes see him make a mistake. And then I think, you know, I think he should be here 3 or 4 more years. I wouldn't be against that, because I think he's only going to get better right now. You know, he's 28 years old, so he hasn't hit his peak yet. You know, he's probably in his peak season right now. But you give him the next 2 seasons, it's perfect. He'd be a perfect guy to have the next 2 seasons. I know there's Robinson, but they could figure that out. There's a way to get both under, you know, they get both for a combined $20 million a year. That wouldn't be terrible, even 25. You know, I don't have to worry about other contracts, but Bogdanović fits really well into this, probably what is the future $3 billion of the Pacers, per se, right? The $3 billion are Sabonis, Turner, and Oladipo. Those are the guys that, you know, for the next 3 years, Pacers are going to build around. And Bogdanović kind of fits in that, where he won't be a huge salary guy, won't be a $25 million guy, but maybe between 10 and 15. But he also helps spread the floor, doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time. You know, he's a guy who's okay with just waiting to get the pass. And that kind of fits, you know, the Pacers style of play, where, you know, they aren't very selfish. He's a very unselfish Bogdanović player, where he doesn't, you know, he call for the ball sometimes, but he understands, you know, he's waiting for his shot. In the same way Turner has been really good at not being selfish, even when he's not calling for the ball, he's just waiting for a shot. The guy set him up, you know, waiting for Oladipo to set up, ready for Collins to set him up, that type of thing. So I'm kind of high on Bogdanović, especially this Hawks game where he had 19 points and it seemed almost kind of effortless at times. So, you know, despite Monday, I am high on Bogdanović, and I think he should be the Pacers long term. That's been it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Remember, MyBookieAG is today's sponsor of today's podcast. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get up to a 50% match to your first deposit on MyBookie.ag. There'll be another podcast on Friday coming up. Well, it'll be Friday, Saturday, probably me and Tony to preview the post-Christmas game against the Detroit in the Nets game. Because we're going to be off probably for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, on the 26th. So have a great rest of your day. Remember to check out other Locked On podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network.